This is CliffCentral.com.
Yeah, you know what time it is. Every time you hear that kind of music in your earphones or wherever you're listening to us from, in your car or at your home, on your speakers, it's time, of course, for the weekly mashup from 11 to 12, only on Cliff Central. Today, I'm all by myself. My lovely co-host, Candice, is out there celebrating her birthday because that's happening tomorrow, of course. If you don't know, buy her a nice gift. She said specifically the only thing she will not accept is apples. So if you want to buy any golden delicious, the red apples or the green, she doesn't do apples. I was thinking of getting a gold crusted apples, but like with like real gold and stuff, just to like throw off. But today I'm with a bunch of really interesting guys in the studio, and we're going to talk about all things media and media related. Have you ever wanted to get a career in the media? Do you know what the media really is? We hear it all the time. People blaming the media, especially politicians and celebrities, for all their woes. But do we really know who the media is and what they are? Well, I've got in the studio with me today Oscar Chifura and, of course, Mr. Mike Ntsasa. And they're going to be talking about all things media related. I'm very excited about that. So stick around. And right now, though, what we're going to do is we're going to give you something to think about. And we're going to play you a little song. One of my favorite tracks at the moment. Check it out. Here it comes. Gentlemen, welcome to the studio. How are you guys doing?
Hey, we're fantastic, to be so.
No, we're good.
Yeah. It's good to have you in the studio. Thanks, Mike. Thanks, Oscar. So, Oscar, you are the founder and, of course, the owner of the PR agency, Hosi PR and Government Relations Consultancy. And, of course, Mike, you are the GM or group executive and managing board member at Independent Media SA. I'm going to start with you, Oscar. Young man, growing up in Limpopo, I know that you're from there. Like, what made you decide to go into PR? I mean, you used to play rugby, man.
Yeah. I don't know. So basically, I was playing rugby, you know, with the white folks. And I think I just started having a knack of just interacting with different cultures. And I think for me then became quite easy for me to, you know, start a conversation, make friends. So I think when, you know, in high school, when they tell you, you need to start looking towards in terms of, career paths, what do you want to do? Mm. I had no idea what I wanted to do. So okay. Basically, literally, I think just after matric, my dad said, what do you want to do? And I said, look, I've got a sports, bursary at, University of Pretoria, but I didn't want to go there. Reason being,
yeah, that's a good.
They were putting me into a, not saying I'm not a Christian, but they were putting me in a Christian res, where if you come back smelling of smoke or alcohol, you get fined 600 rand. So I said,
too much pressure for you.
No, I said, Dad, you're going to be paying 1.2 every weekend. So,
but just to make sure that people understand, but you are a Christian.
Yes, I am.
Having said that,
yes, I am. So I then literally just walked in at TUT and I wrote a test and I said I want to do PR. And they said, why? Yeah. And I said, I love engaging with people and I'm quite politically opinionated. So after the test and having an oral test as well, the guy said, you know what, you're in. And I think I've never looked back ever since.
When we think about PR as normal people, the layman in the street, we think of, you know, that show, The Fixer. And we think of Olivia Pope going around just fixing stuff. Is that really like your day to day? Do you wear like, I know you, he's actually wearing a really nice coat. If you haven't seen it, go to our Twitter handle and of course go to Instagram. Just like Olivia, you also wear nice coats. You go around with your nice coats and just saving celebrities and politicians.
I think the only thing that I can take from Olivia is you need to dress good for success. So if a client, if you're going to meet a client, you need to make sure that you're looking good so a client can actually then take you seriously. But I think if you take certain aspects out of Olivia Pope, it's really about fighting for your client.
Okay.
Really about positioning your client in the media and also positioning your client in front of the audiences to then portray a picture of this is the client, and you know what, if it's a crisis situation, own up to the crisis and then provide solutions to say this is what we're going to do. Not everyone has that dial, you know, where you can just call the president and say I need this to go away or I need a meeting. Unfortunately, right.
Even
you have
the president
to
doesn't have that.
No,
right,
he doesn't.
Now he's got his own problem.
Exactly. So you're gonna have to work within the confines of what you are provided with. So it will be your team, it will be context that you have within the media, context that you have with certain politicians. That makes it easier when you need to engage in certain stories, or you need to then find out the truth. And I think the fundamental key about PR that a lot of people think it's just glamorous is the truth. If your client doesn't tell you the truth, trust me, your reputation as a specialist,
it's dead.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. All right. Now, one question I wanted to ask is, you know, people say there's no such thing as bad publicity. Is that actually true?
No, that's false. There is bad publicity. There is bad publicity.
Okay.
There is bad publicity.
And you know, like in terms of reputational risk and that sort of thing, recently we had that scandal with MyWay. Some things just come up and then they just disappear. But I must say they kind of handled that quite well, because they came out and they said what they need to say and it just kind of went away.
Yeah, so basically, if we were to look at how MyWay handled this whole scenario, was quite commendable, because the CEO himself actually took the ownership of saying, as an organization, we understand that this happened on our watch. We can understand that it was one of our customers, without naming the person, which was quite commendable, because most CEOs would have thrown that individual under the bus to say, external person, we couldn't process that claim, and hence they're angry, and here's the person's details. And I think I followed them last week, where the individual actually came and apologized to the assistant who was helping him at MyWay to say, look, I'm sorry. They had a proper sit down. And, you know, MyWay said, you know what? We're not going to press any charges. You're human. You make mistakes. And that's how one should actually handle a crisis that happens within your organization. Yeah.
Well, listen, just to make sure that everyone understands and to add to your credibility, Oscar actually doesn't work for MyWay in any way at all. It was just something that we threw out there. But over to you, Mike, for a second. You grew up in the Free State, am I correct?
Correct.
All right. And let me just make sure that I've got you on the right mic here. Just say something. You're from the Free State?
Yeah, correct.
Okay. And growing up in the Free State, did you always know that this is what you wanted to do with your life?
Absolutely not.
Oh, okay.
Absolutely not.
You didn't want to get into the media?
No, I didn't even think I'll be in the media.
What did you want to do?
I tell you what, I was thinking more in the lines of being an economist.
Okay.
Yeah? So I think my Afrikaans landed me into the media space.
Oh, are you? Well, you're from the Free State. You should be able to speak Afrikaans.
Baie goed, eh? My Afrikaans is uitstekend. So I think that's what actually landed me.
I was going to try and jump in with you, but when you said uitstekend, I was like, you know what, Mike, I'm just going to keep it in English, man.
Yeah. So I think that's basically what landed me into the media. That's essentially, I started at Volksblad. That's probably a Afrikaans newspaper that's probably with more than 100 of years.
Yeah.
That's where I think
it's
the guys,
the
guys actually really liked my Afrikaans. They were like, geez, where does this young man come from with such fluent Afrikaans, you know?
But here's the thing, right? You're growing up in the Free State. You also have a background where, like many other young black people, your family was struggling. You saw education as a way out, and you decided to go to university. And what did you study there while you were at university?
I did a BCom there. I did a BA in sort of majoring in economics as well as public administration.
All right. And what job were you hoping to get once you got out there?
No, look,
as an economist.
Look, I was really saying, you know what, if I can get into a bank, you know, start it off from there, hopefully the absence was quite an admirable thing for me at the time. And I was hoping to get in there and hopefully start building you know, into being an economist.
But I like what you said to start off with. I mean, a lot of people think that if you're from a background that's quite difficult, then, you know, and you don't play soccer, how are you going to make it out of that? But you decided to do it through your education. You knew that you could study and you could do well in that, and that's what you decided to go out there and actually pursue and do with your life. But from there, you get your education, and a lot of young people say they've got this education, especially a BA or BCom these days, and they can't get a job. What happened with you?
To me, so I went through a number of industries as a young man. To me, end up landing into media.
Yeah, just trying to stay employed, trying to get employed.
I said, you know what, I need to hustle. So you call back home, you say, hey, I need money. And you know very well, your father is a miner. That money is not enough. There's other sort of brothers and sisters who needs to be taken care of. I went into motoring. I sold cars at some point.
Oh, yeah?
Second-hand
cars?
Second-hand cars at VW, yeah.
All right.
So I was there. I was at I was in insurance.
Okay.
I was with, the likes of MTN them in the beginning, you know, when cell phones were coming in, the Alcatels, pulled with the antenna.
Yeah.
I was there. So, for me, it was about survival, frankly speaking. I mean, the time when you had the likes of Sales House, way back in the days, that's where I really started. I was really hustling.
And then from there, like, just branching out into media, how did that, like, because it's quite a jump. It's like completely another direction. You go into False Blood. Like, you went there for an interview. Did you want to go into this newspaper, or were you just hard up at the time? What was going on there?
For me, to me, so look, I said, you know what? I need to start, focusing.
Mm-hmm.
I need to start focusing. I need to start developing a career. Remember, as I'm saying, I was all
of
over.
Of course.
I was all over. And I said, you know what? You need to start shaping something, Mike. Went to Volksblad. The guys were impressed, as I said, with my Afrikaans. And the guys felt inspired by me, and they felt like, you know what? This is the right guy. And essentially, they appointed me to look after government. I think it was one of a headache for them. And they could not relate with that particular sector. And that's where it really
started. What year was this?
This was in 2006.
Okay.
2006.
All right. Some time back. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But from there, I mean, you moved to Media 24, the Mail and Guardian, and now you're currently with Independent Media, where you are the group executive and managing board member. People talk about this media. And especially the government, Oscar, they always, and we as celebrities sometimes are blaming this media for some of our woes, whether they are self-created and we get in trouble because of the things we actually did or didn't do. Who is the media, Mike? What is the media?
The media is actually essentially a platform for me when I look at it. It's a platform where the media itself as an institution, give us content. And there's the other side of it where content is syndicated from other sources, and then there's us as the community essentially giving content, whether it's through an opinion piece, it's through writing a letter to the editor. That's really what forms content within the media itself. It's a multiplicity of various sources of content coming through.
And how has the new technology with things like social media, your Twitters and your Instas and your Facebook, as well as the internet, just changed the landscape of the media? In the old days, you had to go buy a newspaper.
Correct.
You actually had to go and find the media. Nowadays, I mean, people send you a WhatsApp link. I'm going to take this one to you, Oscar.
Yeah.
They send you a WhatsApp link. Even if you didn't want media, you are getting it.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think with the growth of social media, and I think how it's really impacted us as, PR practitioners, has become a sense where if you're not up to date in terms of what's happening within the media, you'll be left behind.
Yeah.
And I remember I was telling Mike earlier on, in terms of what we do as a business, is every morning we normally go through all the newspapers just to look in terms of what has been published that would affect our clients, what do we then need to do to advise them. But then you see now with social media, Sunday morning, 2 a.m. in the morning, boom, I know what's coming up in the front page of the Sunday Times. By 5 a.m. already, I've already crafted a statement for my client, already I'm sending it through and already arranging media interviews with the journalists. Monday, we can have a story to then either squash what was publicized or provide further content so that at least now both voices have been heard.
Okay.
So in both ways, social media is good in terms of it provides you with up-to-date information at ungodly hours, but also can be quite detrimental in terms of if they don't publish accurate stories, it can tarnish and damage someone's image and someone's reputation.
Yeah. I want to get to that fake news, but before I get there, I just want to find out from you, Mike, how has our handsets, our smartphones, our laptops, being able to get all the news that we want basically on all these devices affected the industry in terms of the commercial side of it? Because we don't necessarily have to buy a newspaper anymore.
Absolutely.
Do we? We don't necessarily have to switch on to the news at a certain time anymore because the news is coming at us at any time.
To me, so the landscape has certainly changed. We see a declining circulation on an ongoing basis. It's a reality. What we need to do is to adapt as an industry. Much as the circulation numbers are going down, which is our currency in commercial. That's basically what we go back to advertisers and say, we've got the following audience. Now we're packaging differently. We're saying we've got this audience on print, digital, social media. Really looking at it from a holistic perspective.
Okay.
One medium alone will not cut it. It doesn't cut it. And I think, in my view, Oscar, every platform has got its audience. Social media for quick, breaking stories, whereas print has still got a relevance, in my view, and that's debatable, in the sense that, you know, if you want long narrative, in depth, that's where you get it.
Okay.
Social media can break it, but can it give you that deep narrative? It cannot. That's the reality.
I find that, my parents, my mother needs to see the news every single night. But I just find that if you really want to see the news, like, younger people want it in bite-sized chunks.
Absolutely, on
YouTube or some other channel like that. Is that something that more media houses are looking towards, where we're just breaking up the news a little bit, and the story you want to hear, you can find just that particular story? Sometimes you don't want to hear the whole news bulletin, right?
Absolutely, to me. So I think one of the things that we are doing at independent media, we call it mobile journalism. It's really saying, instead of really capturing that story in a very long, laborious manner in newspaper perhaps, how do you take the very same story and package it into video, send it through, you know, whether it's through WhatsApp, YouTube. I can pick it up very quickly, nice and succinctly, you know, with good quality.
All right. Speaking of independent media, who are you guys exactly? What kind of publications come out of independent media?
We've got a stable of over about, 20 newspapers. We really cover South Africa very well. We've got the likes in Gauteng, the likes of The Star, Pretoria News, Sunday Independent, Saturday Star. You go to Durban, The Mercury, Isolezwe, Lesxhosa, Isolezwe, and then you've got Sunday Tribune and etc. And then if you go to Cape Town, Cape Argus, Cape Times, and then in the first sort of edition in the Eastern Cape, Isolezwe, Lesxhosa. So we also touch on vernacular because we believe there's a diverse sort of society in South Africa.
How important is that in terms of how does that change the news and the content of the news when you now target it specifically at those kind of demographic groups of what is relevant to a Xhosa speaking person in the news? What is relevant to a Sotho speaking person in the news? Is there such a thing? Or is it just kind of what was written in English? It can be just translated into all the other languages?
Not at all. I think we look at each and every audience carefully, and we try through research and understand what are the things that makes that audience to sort of tick. What is relevant for them? Particularly, you find in some sort of certain communities, issues of culture are still very relevant and important to them. And again, it's how you package that content for them in such a way that they can embrace it, they can feel a part of, you know, that particular media.
Yeah, definitely. I think that definitely when it comes to the vernac speaking market, you said issues of culture are important. Are you guys looking at more and more adding those issues of culture? Because in a way, do you think that we have become so homogenous as South Africans that really, our culture, different cultures are not coming through in the media?
That's true. I think we still need to do more as the entire media in terms of really contributing in terms of towards culture, but also preserving that particular heritage and culture. I don't think, in my view, we are really telling the stories of what's really happening in the deep rural communities. Let's look at this particular month. It's Women's Month, right?
Mm-hmm.
Some fundamental thing that I got to learn from some of the elderly, when you look at this heart, the rondavel, as we call it, right? You know, somebody said to me, you see the center pole that holds that whole structure there? He said that represents the woman in the family holding that.
Holding that family together. Up.
It's holding that whole family together. But you see, these things are not told. And I think we owe it to the current generation. As much as we modern we are and etc., We need to know those fundamentals so that we can build on onto that.
That is a beautiful story, but I find that generally in the media, is there space for beautiful stories, or do we always need headlines that are negative, that kind of get us emotionally feeling, I suppose, in a bad way, as opposed to, wow, I feel good. I want to go buy the paper because it's a feel good. Are we ever going to get there?
I think we'll get there, Tumi. So when I look into our stable, much as, you know, the industry is dropping in terms of circulation, we are holding our own. We are holding our own. In some instances, we see a bit of increase in etc. But the reality is the following, Tumi. So people,
yeah,
do want to read
bad news sells in
a bit of different news. I don't think if I have to look on Sundays, I become a little bit fatigued. You know, it's either corruption, this and that.
No, it is important. I don't even read the papers on Sundays.
It needs to be highlighted. You know, we need to, you know, hold people accountable. But I think, you know, as an individual, if I have to remove myself from the industry, I feel like I'm fatigued. There are things that are beyond corruption, beyond certain things that are happening. There's an economy that, you know, we're giving, you know, birth. Things are happening in society.
Yeah, there's good things happening in the economy, by the way.
Absolutely.
There's actually good things happening in politics as well.
Absolutely.
There's good things happening in society. Now, Oscar, how does this new phenomenon of fake news affect your business?
I think on my side, it's quite bad, but in a flip side, it's quite good.
It's quite good, absolutely.
Because now you start realizing that we can actually defeat fake news through driving stories or driving content from a client point of view that hits straight to the heart of the audiences that you're trying to engage with. More so that you now need to start almost setting the narrative of being honest in terms of everything that you do. So as a business, if you are a big corporate, you need now to take cognizance that, as opposed to just trying to make money off the citizens, now you need to give back, and you need to tell why you're giving back so that people can then understand that you're, you know, quite a very good corporate citizen. Fake news, really, you can really see through fake news. In terms of when you read something that's driven by fake news.
I'd like to know how you can see that. And by the way, if you have any questions for our studio guests or myself in the studio right now, you know, you can hit us up on WhatsApp. Our number is 0797482090. That's 0797482090. And of course, if you are on social media right now, hit us up on Twitter at Tumisho Masha and or at Cliff Central, and we'll respond to any of your questions. How can you tell the difference between a fake news story and a real news story?
All right. Two aspects. The other aspect is usually the person or the medium that's pushing that fake news is not authorized or is not really known. So basically, it's as if this particular media company or media house just mushroomed yesterday. And the second thing is they usually attack an individual.
I see.
They literally go for the jugular. So, for instance, what we've seen in terms of Pravin Gordhan and all the other members of parliament who said they'll vote without conscience, you start seeing that it's more focused in terms of the individual as opposed to the moral of the story in terms of why are they going to the vote without conscience. And you can see that it's almost trying to push a different agenda. So if you are following the media, if you're understanding what's happening in our country or society, especially with what the media side, from Mike's point of view, what they're doing on every Sunday, you see the headlines. If you're not following that and then you read fake news, you'll believe fake news over what's currently happening in our society. So it's almost trying to counter the bad news with further bad news, but attacking a specific individual,
I see.
Where the person's reputation actually is quite strong, and that currency of reputation of that individual will actually supersede what that individual or campaign is trying to do in discrediting that person. So you can actually see when something is fake.
Okay. And how's it affecting you guys, Mike, with real media and fake media? Are you finding that more of your potential clients, especially your market in terms of the youth, are going for this fake news because it's more tabloidy? Are we going towards a more tabloidy society, or do people still want the real stories?
Look, people, in my view, people do want the real stories. I think what is mushroom over time to me is that fake news has become a reality. It has become a reality. We see it in many forms where, you know, like Oscar is saying, whether people are being discredited or somebody's just posting. Remember, what social media has done is it's created a lot of content generators.
Yeah. Yes.
Everyone is suddenly now a content generator. But the reality is, credibility exactly. is what sets everything apart within journalism.
Exactly.
Okay. Whether we are individual, you know, content creators, the reality is we're still looking for credible content.
And are our journalists and is our journalism in South Africa getting better or is it getting worse?
I think our journalism in South Africa is tight, eh? It's tight. It's really upholding ethics, and I think that's what I see, particularly within our stable as well, is that really, because at the end of the day, that is what we sell. We sell credibility. We sell good journalism that allows people to come back, because our role in society is to make sure that we inform, we educate and empower people in terms of knowledge and information that they can pick up from our stable.
And, you know, sometimes you hear politicians talk about this white media. But it seems to me like a lot of the media, especially the credible media, the big media houses, are now run by black individuals who are at the helm, like such as yourself. Do you think that it's changed the way media reports certain stories and how stories are reported? Or is it just a bit of a blame game that is being played?
I think there's many ways to look at it. The reality is, since we took over an independent media from the Irish, right, we were quite deliberate and clear in terms of our stance that we are about making sure that we put South Africa in a positive light.
Okay.
Regardless of, you know, who's in power. For us, it's always giving a balanced sort of view and a balanced story at the end of the day. We should be able, as South Africans, to particularly as the media as well, we should be able to put South Africa first as a country in terms of what is happening.
That's a good one, yeah, we should.
I think for me, that is what is important. I think we can be all, how I see it is that sometimes we are the downfall of our own, you know. I think we can do better. You know, we're not saying we should try and hide corruption and etc. No,
yeah,
we should elevate those issues. But I think, you know what, we should be able and say that, you know what is in the interest of this country, and really put that forward and make sure that, you know what, we can have South Africa and mobilize it, you know, towards a common good.
And I think just to add to that, and I think in terms of moving away from this narrative of is it white media, is it bad tabloids or headlines on every Sunday, I think if we look at government, if government can actually start doing good, then the narrative will change to good headlines.
Okay.
But if people are still corrupt and people are still stealing, guess what? Every Sunday we're going to be reading about those that are stealing.
Yeah. Yeah. And how do you think, you know, Oscar, in terms of the media being important in actually helping with justice? You know, recently a lot of what media has done is what has exposed the corruption. And sometimes there's certain things that would have just gone unnoticed. And I suppose people wouldn't have been charged had it not been for the media.
Yeah, so I think if you look at media as a change agent with any country, in any situation, if we didn't have this platform called media, if we didn't have brave journalists to actually go out and seek the stories that usually try to undermine the credibility of our country and the governance of our country in terms of the service delivery, if it wasn't for that, I think in anywhere around the world, corruption would have superseded in enormous, how can I put it? Let me just put it this way.
Yeah, put it if how it, you want to put it, man.
If it wasn't for the media, I think people would still be corrupt to such a degree that no one would have even known that they're corrupt, and yet people that are public servants are more wealthier than people in the private sector.
We need to essentially hold the, you know, people accountable.
Yes, I want to get back to that a little bit, but we've got a caller on the line. Hello?
Hi.
Hi. Who am I speaking to?
Yeah, you're speaking to Petronella. I'm calling from Delareyville.
Hi, Petronella. All the way from Delareyville.
Yes. I wanted to know, as a youth, how do I get involved in media? Yesterday, I was on the TV and I could see something for independence. And I'm busy studying, so I like to get involved with the band. But I'm more interested in what was on the news yesterday for the independence.
Okay.
Well, and I can hear you've got the man from Independent that's there.
That's right. We're going to be talking about that just now.
It's very, very interesting. There were people, young people like me. I'm just so excited. Can you just give me more information, please?
All right. That's a great question. Thank you, Petronella. One thing before you go, what are you studying?
I'm busy studying media. It's my first year
at
UJ.
Oh, awesome.
So I'm busy studying media, and I'm just saying I like print, but yesterday on this TV I saw I can't explain.
Was that Gau TV?
Yeah, it was on TV. It was on, I think it was on Gau TV.
Correct.
I saw something for Independence.
Okay.
And I think it was called The Young Independent.
Correct.
And it just I've got so many friends at UJ in our first year that we are doing so many new things that we'd like to get involved. Is there something to get involved with, to maybe try and put ourselves on the map with media, you know, in first years? You know, we've just got so many things that we want to do and so many new ideas to show.
Okay.
And I just want to know how to get involved with that thing.
All right.
The Young Independent thing.
Perfect. You know what, Petronella, just stay on the line and we'll answer, or just stay on, don't stay on the line, just keep listening and we'll answer all your questions.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks for calling. Mike, that was a great question. A lot of young people are now interested in media. They see it, they understand it, they're doing it already. She is studying. How does she get involved with the media? How does she get a job like at one of your organizations? And then we're going to talk about the Young Independents.
Fantastic. Tumiso and Petronella, I think at Independent Media, what we've done just over a year now, Tumiso, we've appointed just over 100 interns,
okay,
coming from different institutions and etc. Some of them focus on hardcore journalism, some of them look at marketing. We spread them across from an HR to sales and etc. So there are various opportunities to participate, even if it means that, you know, we need to absorb a few team coming from Petronella and the rest into, you know, learning and sharing experience. We do that because we do also believe that as an organization, we need young people who will lead us to the future.
So how do young people get hold of you to be part of that internship program?
They can contact me on Mike.  Ntsasa, N for Nelly, T for Tommy, SA for South Africa, another SA for South Africa, at inl.co.za.
Awesome, guys. If you're really interested in the media and you want to get your chance as an intern, you heard the man himself. And Oscar, I mean, you getting into PR as well, that is part of the media.
Yeah.
One thing we didn't touch on is after university, you know, you studied media. Where did you go? Did you get a job? Were you
right into the as I said, I was quite fortunate. I don't know. I just think this whole path that I've been on has just been a blessed one. While I was in second year, a mate of mine said, look, give me a CV. I want to copy your CV, because he wanted to be a student assistant at TUT, the institution I studied in. So I gave him my CV. I said, you know, you can copy whatever you want.
Lo and behold, thank God for Jesus.
You know, he submitted my CV.
Yeah.
They chose me and not chose him. And that's how I started. And then I started off with being a junior lecturer, lecturing in PR, international relations and advertising. And from there onwards, worked at a pharmaceutical, a Swedish company, and then moved on to a research company, and then I moved on to Vuma Reputation Management, and then I moved to Ogilvy PR,
okay,
and then, you know, Ogilvy PR, then I moved to Plus 94 Research, and then I was like, you know what, I really have this desire and passion to really do my own thing, and I said, you know what, why not start your own thing? And I think I was sitting and I was trying to come up with a name, and then my wife is Songa, and I'm like, what is such a powerful word for this company? And I said Hosi, which just literally means king.
Oh, Hosi.
And then Hosi.
Right.
And then that's how it came about.
Okay, so Hosi PR.
Yes, Hosi PR and government relations.
All
yes.
right, dope, man. And you know, starting something like that, a lot of people always talk about, and I've been there, funding and that sort of thing. Did you need funding, or did you just go into the market and get a couple of clients?
I always say to people, and every time I get invited to speak to young entrepreneurs, I always say, never leave your day job if you don't have enough to cover you for the next 6 months, because nothing is guaranteed. Especially when you're working in my arena, where you do some work with the government, you can get paid after 90 days.
Yeah,
90 days, the bills have to be paid. So literally what you then have to do, consult where you can, and then still try and keep a day job. If you can't, and you really know that you've got different revenue streams that you can tap into, I'd say go full-heartedly. The sky's your limit, but ensure that whatever then you get in from the business, you need to keep it and invest in the business so that you can actually sustain yourself in the dry months where you can't get a contract, you can't get a job, or you can't get a project, because it does happen.
All right. And talking about the Young Independents, is this the first year that it's happening in 2017?
No, this is the second year to me.
All right.
This is the second year.
And what is the Young Independents? What is that all about?
The Young Independents is a youth-centric platform for youth Mm-hmm. It's a youth-centric platform for youth by youth.
All right.
So essentially what we do there is we've got there's two components to it. We've got the digital platform that's running like any website.
Okay.
It's a platform where we're inviting youth to really write, inspiring stories, but also to share openly what is their view and how they see the world, right?
Mm.
And then we've got the second element, which is actually the annual flagship, which is we call the 100 Inspiring and Aspiring Leaders.
Okay.
Where we celebrate young people, for doing amazing things within this country. Young people who are giving us hope, and we're saying really that these are our future leaders that we're looking forward to.
Are these young people in journalism and media or across the board
they
cut, and everything?
They cut across various industries.
All right. Yeah. So it's people are doing well in various industries, whether they're entrepreneurs, whether they have got careers in corporates, whether they are in media and journalism or in any other sphere as well.
Absolutely.
And this year, the event took place last night.
Yesterday morning, correct.
And there was a grand, this is my favorite part, there was a grand prize of 250,000 rands, or the prize money was 250,000 rands.
Correct.
All right. So, we've got different categories here, and we've got disruptor. I'd like to start with the categories. What is a disruptor? What is that category about?
So, disruptor, we're saying it's people who are basically sort of changing the status quo. They disrupt what we are basically comfortable with and saying, you know what, hey, hold on, there's another way of doing things. Those are the guys, and they would cut across different sectors. So
okay, so they're doing things in a different way in whatever kind of field that they're in.
Absolutely.
Now we're going to talk about the winners. The winner in this one was Sibs Shongwe. Any information about Sibs? What is he doing? What is he up to? Why did he win this award?
Sips basically is
I don't want to catch you guys off guard by the way, so it's okay if we don't have the full information. Don't feel bad, we can move on to the next one. But otherwise, Oscar, in the meantime, you're a very famous guy, by the way. Vendor people, they all, it's, I don't know if Toyando was a small place or what, but everyone knows everyone. A guy called Jacob Pindu Sadiq.
Alright,
he says his name is Jacob, and he's had some bad press for over 10 years. How can you help clean up his image? Money ain't a problem. We're about to say he's a pastor now?
Yeah.
How do you clean up someone's image, though? Literally.
I think it's not necessarily about cleaning up one's image. It's about that person owning up to saying, how can I then change my image for the better? So I think the first thing that we'll need to do is to understand in terms of what is the problem. And as I said earlier on, honesty is the key. If you lie to me, I will drop you.
So basically, I'm a celebrity. I've been in the papers for all sorts of things lately. This is hypothetical, by the way.
Of course.
They say that I was caught at a strip club. I was totally, off my head. I was drunk. I'm womanizing, and yet I'm married, and I'm going into the ministry as well at the same time. And you know that I did it.
Tell me the truth. Okay. If you did it, tell me the truth.
I did it. I was there. They called me on the side of the road. They pulled me over, and it wasn't my wife in the car.
You know
what happens next
in that situation? You own up, and then you
pictures.
No, honestly, look, and you can never run away from pictures.
All right.
If there's visual evidence, trust me, as much as you can try and pay someone to sweep it under the carpet, it will come out at the latest
stage. Right?
Rather own up, confess, and then you know what?
Ask for forgiveness.
Apart from forgiveness, make amends. Make amends, and then own up to your situation and say, look, I got carried away. I did have too much drink.
Yeah.
I did realize that she wasn't my wife. But you know,
that's why I was taking her home.
You know? I'm human. I make mistakes. and as such, you can't really give trade secrets in terms of what you literally do.
Oh, okay. All right.
Because
there's some other stuff.
That is your discussion with your client. But on a serious note, first and foremost, we always say to clients, be prepared to own up and face bad truth of what you did. Because if you don't, and if you continue lying, it's going to follow you, it's going to come back, and it's going to be quite bad and worse.
Well, that sounds like very real advice, you know. It's like proper. I thought maybe you were going to give us something spicy.
No,
but it's okay.
No, we are not. What do they call that word that PR is synonymous with?
Which doctor?
We are not spinners.
Oh,
no, we're not spin doctors. No.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, then. Okay, then there's the other award category, which is the Healer Award. And now this is a very strange one for me when I saw it, because I'm like, a healer in media? Or I guess it cuts across everything, right? Yeah. Would this be like, I see some doctors here, but the winner is not necessarily a doctor. Jessica Dewhurst actually won this one. What is the healer category about?
So the healer category is basically, you know, people who are healing. They can heal the environment. They can heal us medically. They can heal us spiritually. They can be guys who are really recycling and really doing good in their community.
Oh, I see.
It comes from that perspective.
Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome,
yeah,
man.
Yeah.
Now, there's also the Influencer Award. And just in terms of like the influencer, what is that award basically about?
This basically recognize young people who are influencing the action and behaviors of brands, policies, people, and it also includes, you know, government leaders and trendsetters, you know, across various media platforms, and they can sometimes be gurus and critics. These are the guys that are influencing,
all
whether
right.
it's a specific narrative or whether it's a specific agenda.
Oh, dope.
Yeah.
And then the Innovator Award is also there. That was won. Oh, by the way, the Influencer Award was won by Anati Nyango.
Yes.
And the Innovator Award, in this category, I suppose this is anybody who in any field is innovating, turning it around.
Absolutely.
In whatever
Absolutely.
Field they're doing, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And that was won by Baseka. Lesolang. I went to a school. My primary school was Lesolang. I wonder if
it's
it was named after her father.
Yeah, and Otoko Pitori, so
then the Trailblazer Award, Wade van Niekerk. Okay, this is weird. Like, suddenly, like, Wade is just thrown in this thing, you know. Everyone else is like names I don't really recognize. I see them there. Is there anyone else who's like really famous? And then Wade comes in, just like Trailblazer of the Year. What did he come through?
Unfortunately, you couldn't.
Okay.
His dad came through.
Yeah, all right.
His dad came through. Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah.
So I guess the Trailblazer is anyone who's doing amazing things in whatever they're doing.
Correct.
Any idea on the other Trailblazers in this category and what they do?
Look, there's quite a number of while we sort of awarded you know, three in each and every category to me, so there are quite a number of other guys within the same category as well. It's really young people between the ages of 18 and 35 who are really doing amazing stuff, and then some of them it's young people like you're saying, unheard of.
Yeah,
unheard
but here's the thing, who are in your specific cat or award young people, up to what age are you still considered young? Could I win? I'm 42. I just turned 42.
No, you're 42. Out. You're
am
out. You're
40?
Out. Yeah,
I'm a young 42. You see my
yeah,
picture.
Perhaps,
I don't even look like I'm 42.
You know, yesterday
do I have
was,
to come with, with an ID?
Yesterday I was saying if you may be sort of young by heart,
yeah.
Maybe we can look.
Oh, really? Young by heart. Okay. I know that.
But
was.
We go strictly with the criteria of 18 to 35.
Oh, 35
yeah.
is the cut of that.
Yeah,
the ANC youth league cut of age.
Absolutely.
Okay, I see.
Absolutely.
All right. Damn. It's too late for me. It's too late for you as well if you're over 35, like you're 36 and a half. It's too late. But, you know, how is it being, I suppose, looked at by the audience specifically for those awards? Are people responding very well? Is the audience loving the awards? Are you getting more and more entries every single year?
To me, so this is the second year. The Young Independence is growing strength to strength.
Yeah.
We got almost in the first year, we just got almost 2,000. And this year we've just moved to over about 2,500.
All right.
Remember, independent media allows us through the 20 titles and about probably 15 community newspapers. It allows us and gives us reach to go into various communities. So we sent out a call to for nomination and say, do you know anyone who's under the ages of 18 and 35 and who fits?
Hang on a second. I just want to ask that because that's a very important thing. So the criteria is someone else must nominate.
You can nominate yourself. It's two-pronged.
Oh,
you can nominate yourself or you can be nominated by somebody else.
Okay.
And the second element to it to me so is that we've got a team of journalists who goes into the field to go scout for young people who are doing amazing things.
Oh,
so at
awesome.
The end of it, it all comes into one pot and you'd find there's duplications where the editorial team has picked up certain names and they overlay that with what South Africa has put forward as nominations.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now here's the thing, right? with all these young people doing amazing things, is there space in your publication where you put these young people in specifically and just showcase them and tell the world about what they're doing, especially if you say there's an editorial team who goes out there and knows about them?
To me, especially if you go today into the Star, Pretoria News, Cape Times, the Mercury, you'd find a 64-page supplement that is really profiling the entire 100 inspiring and aspiring leaders. So it is available today. It is available online on www.tyi.co.za. You will also pick up the guys from last year as well. And maybe just to, you know,
That's a great initiative, and I'd like everyone to go to that, because sometimes we just need those stories to inspire and motivate us as young people. And it's www.tyi.co.za. So people can go there and, you know, go out there, get yourself some really great media for a change. You know, be inspired, look at people who are going to make it, who are doing amazing things. You never know, you could like really bump into guys you can partner with. You were going to say, Mike?
Look, I was saying essentially we were very well received in yesterday's awards. I think great support overall, highly spoken about. And then I think our plans from initially has always been that we want to bring young people across the continent together to share, to inspire one another. And what we're going to do for 2018, we will start tapping into the SADC region, where we're saying necessarily now bedding it down to South Africa, but we're saying what is there that we can do in the SADC region, and hopefully begin to move deeper into the continent. But importantly, this is a platform for young people, by young people. They must shape that narrative, because remember, we are looking to young people for the future. They are a strategic priority and an asset for the continent. And we're looking to them.
Oscar, you've done great things with your brand, with your own company. Where to from here? I mean, I suppose you'll never be out of work if you're PR to the government, right?
No, I think it's a very good industry to be in. It's the devil you know and the devil you don't know. So you know, in some instances you do good work for corporates. When government needs assistance, you know, you're always there to lend a hand. So I think where to from now, I think it's just to really grow the business and really just, you know, put a stake within the PR industry as well, just to really showcase the talent that not only comes from Venda, but also in terms of the talent that exists in our country. Especially if you start looking, there's a lot of PR practitioners who are black who are coming up and not only occupying big you know, positions in government and private sector, but also those that are, you know, entrepreneurs and doing great things. And I think currently for me, I'm finalizing my master's this year.
In PR.
So I just got feedback from my supervisor. I need to amend a few things and submit. And next year I plan on enrolling for my doctoral studies in PR and reputation management.
So we could call you Dr. Oscar one of these.
Of course.
That would be really cool. You really are a spin doctor. And you said you're not a spin doctor. Well, gents, I mean, it was a real pleasure having you in the studio. I've learned a lot, certainly, from just understanding what the media is all about, because sometimes we think we know, even if we're in the media, but we don't really, you know, have any idea. How do you see, Mike, as a last question, our media really shaping the young people of this country to just become better and to think better? I've noticed that sometimes, depending on the era, you know, and the kind of media that was happening in your era as a young person, it can either shape you for the better or the worse, you know? What do you think young people can take away from the media and really just take for themselves and say, you know what, this is what's happening, good or bad, but how can it help me going forward?
I think the media is there to empower us with information. And I think what young people should do is to put themselves at the center of it and say, you know what is that that can help me out of what I'm reading? What is that that can empower me to become a better person tomorrow? To me, so maybe just without wasting time, one of the things that we do from a regular basis is take young people to edit our titles.
Wow.
So that we begin to see and feel how they see things, you know, the challenges that they come across. How do they unpack and sort of package that for the other people to begin to read?
Awesome. Gentlemen, that's all we have time for, unfortunately. It's been a pleasure having you in the studio, and we will see you next week. Stay tuned to Cliff Central. There's more coming up, amazing stuff. And of course, if you didn't catch this or you caught it rather late and there's something that you heard that you want to hear again, go to our podcast. From me to Misha Masha, I'll see you again next week on Cliff Central on the Weekly Mashup. I'm out.
This is CliffCentral.com.